both have a really great handle on what our next steps are for each step of the plan. So let me tell you a little bit about James Woosley. James Woosley, and you can find James at woosleycoaching.com. It's W-O-O-S-L-E-Y coaching.com. James is a project manager, so he's a detailed guy. So while my eyes might roll back in my head every time I see a spreadsheet, James gets excited. He gets all wide-eyed every time one comes across his way. James has worked for the Department of Defense and many, many major corporations out there across our country. And James is an expert at helping entrepreneurs specifically to figure out what their business is, what are the fundamentals, the foundational pieces of their business, and to teach them how to execute that in a way that they actually have a roadmap for the coming year ahead. So I'm excited to listen to James tonight and to learn from him, because believe me, I already have. And one other thing I want to point out, too, about James. James is a professor at the Free Agent Academy. A Free Agent Academy is an organization that members come on board with when they want to launch their own business. And they want to really make sure they launch a business that's totally in line with who they are, what their calling is, how they're wired, the best idea given their history and the milestones that have happened in their life, with a very customized approach to branding and marketing. And James is the professor of the Roadmap group there. So this, the guy we are talking to tonight, he is absolutely hands down the expert to help you to build out your plan for this coming fiscal year. So, James, I want to just encourage everyone to listen in, because I know I will be taking notes, too. So the call is yours.
Well, thank you, Deb. I really appreciate it. I mean, Deb and I go back a couple of years now, mainly through Free Agent Academy, but she is an amazing powerhouse leader, and she's launching her new business, strengthleader.com, is where you can find her, and I just can't thank Deb enough for the encouragement, the support, and just helping me understand myself the way that she's so good at doing that. So thank you so much, Deb. Well, tonight I want to help people build out a plan for 2012. It is, as we record this call, it is November the 29th, 2011. There are 32 days left in the year, and a lot of those days are going to be taken up with the holidays. And so this end of the year thing is going to come really, really fast. And before we know it, we're going to be watching TV and seeing the ball drop in Times Square, a place where Deb and I were hanging out just a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to watch that ball fall, and the new year is going to begin, and we're going to have a fun party and enjoy that process of beginning a new year, new beginnings. But really, I don't want to talk about resolutions tonight, because I really don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I think that if there's a change that you need to make in your life, now is the time to do it. Let's not wait for an artificial date of January 1st to start a resolution to eat better or to get healthy or to exercise or any of those things that we want to go do. Let's start working now to put those things into place. And December is the perfect time to be working on the plan for 2012. We've got a month. We've got about a month to dig into this thing and make it work. And so tonight I want to just share four hurdles that confront anyone who needs a plan. And some of these are going to be bigger hurdles for other people, for some people than others, but the reality is there are these hurdles when we want to sit down and we want to start building out a plan, and so I want to share that with you. Would you go to the next slide there, Deb? And Deb already did a good introduction of me, so I don't want to belabor this too much, but I am the owner of WoosleyCoaching.com, where I help people build out their business roadmap. But these roadmaps, these plans can be applied to anything, whether it's a goal of writing a book or accomplishing something for your personal life. But specifically for business, we've really got to build out a plan. My background, 5 years in the military and more than 10 years now in consulting for companies and the federal government, Department of Defense, and so I bring a lot of background. I am a certified project manager. If that means anything to anybody, it just means I have a lot of experience. I took a test. I studied for it. I passed it. And so if that gives me expert status.
Yeah, I was going to say, James, can I point something out? I think one of the biggest values you bring to this process is because you are a business owner, you think, you act, and you execute like a business owner. That's a very rare commodity. A lot of folks will work with a consultant, and they may even work with an accountant. And even though that accountant technically owns their own business, there's a big difference between owning your own business legally and mentally. And I think that's the most important skill that you really bring to the table that frankly, not a lot of folks can.
Well, thanks, Deb. I mean, it is a mindset, and I am a small business owner. I mean, very small at this point, but growing. And, there are good consultants and bad consultants out there. I hope I rank amongst the good ones who really listen to their clients and help them move forward. I've done it long enough now, and I continue to get referred in to do more and more. So, I'll take it as a pat on the back that I'm one of the good ones. And then Deb also mentioned I'm one of the professors there in the Friedman Academy. I want to talk about that some more later because it is a very powerful group. Okay, next slide, Deb. So as I mentioned, 2011 is almost over. And if you're like most people, you look back and the year flew by. It was just like poof, and it's over. It's gone. Well, 2012 is going to do the same thing. And in fact, as we get older, it probably is going to feel like it goes faster and faster. So if we're going to look back on 2012, if we're a year from today, we're going to look back on 2012 and have a sense of accomplishment, we really need a plan. We need to have some intentional, focused energy to go forward and execute our year. What is it that you want to achieve in 2012? Whatever it is, I guarantee it's not going to be easy. Not if it's something that's worth doing right, something that's big, something that you really want to go after. Having a dream is great, but once we get past the dreaming phase, it's time to build a plan and then execute it. It's time to put it into place and make it work. Now, I want to show you and talk you through the perfect plan. And Deb, if you'll go to the next slide. The perfect plan. Step one, you decide to start a business. You've got a dream, you've got a goal, you've got something that you want to go accomplish. And so you decide to start a business. And that's it. That's step one. Step two, you get a great domain name because this is 2011, 2012. You've got to be on the internet. So you go out there, you register a great .com name because .com is where it's at for business, right? And so you get that name. Maybe you pay a little bit more for a premium name, and you're ready to go. Step three, a miracle happens. Poof. Everything is going your way. You get tons of traffic to your site. You get tons of business rolling in. And then step four is just untold riches and glory. Everything's perfect. Everything's wonderful. Well, that four-step plan is the way that a lot of people will think when they start thinking about starting a business or start writing a book or whatever it is that they want to go do. And they'll sit there and they'll dream about it and they'll think about it and they won't do anything. And a year will pass by and nothing will happen. Because this four-step perfect plan, it really doesn't happen that way. It may appear to be that way for certain people that we see that are successful and we think that they're an overnight success. The reality is that there's a lot of work that goes on in the background. It's like the duck sitting calmly on the water. Those feet may be paddling quite a bit and we can never see it. So you've got to dig in. You've got to realize that you've got to have a plan if you want to get to that perfect place that you've dreamed about for your future. And that plan is what's going to help take you there. My friend and mentor and really the chief mentor in my life in a lot of ways is Chuck Bowen. And he says that if you can put it on paper, you can make it happen in real life. And I absolutely positively believe that. You've got to write it down so it becomes physical, it becomes tangible. And I'm going to give you some ways to do that tonight. Okay, Deb, if you'll go to the next slide. So this perfect plan is offset by the mythical business plan, right? So we think about the business plan. We think about, you've got to have a business plan. You've got to have something out there that drives you forward. Well, business plans are something that MBAs create in college and something that you do whenever you need to go get a loan or venture capital. A business plan is about getting that MBA or getting that loan. And once they're written, once they're done, they're pretty much over. They pretty much sit on a shelf, sit in a drawer, and gather dust. because most of them aren't very practical. Most of them go into all of these big, big things that take you down paths that aren't happening in the real world. The real world is about pursuing your passion. The real world is about doing something because you can't do anything else. So what you need is not a business plan. What you need is a plan for your business, a plan of action, something that you can go do, something that you can work on, something that you can that will navigate your path forward to that place where you want to go. So that's the tool that I want to give you tonight. I want to give you this process of building out a plan, of starting a plan, and then some specific things that you can do going forward. Okay, next slide then. The struggle of planning. Well, you know, this planning thing, it's not easy. It's going to take a lot of hard work, and for some people it's going to be harder than others. I'm going to talk about that. So brace yourself. It's a rough road ahead. This may not be pretty, but I guarantee that if you can apply these principles, if you can gut through the hard parts of this, you can end up with a plan that really will take you places in 2012. So why is it hard? Next slide, Deb. Planning comes more naturally for some people. For myself, I kind of naturally am a planner. I see things well. I can break these tasks, these complicated things down into simpler parts and digestible pieces. Well, just because I can plan well doesn't mean that I can execute well. And that's a place personally where I struggle at times. I've got to be very focused and very intentional about following through with my plans and keeping them from just being dreams. Execution is easier for other people. They're just go, 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 and they're all over the place. So without a plan, they may do a million different things but end up going nowhere. I think everybody has a level of planning and execution in them. And success is going to come to those who can learn how to build a plan and execute it. It's a rare combination of the two. You've got to be able to build out a plan. You've got to be able to follow it through. Do the things that the plan says, adjust along the way, obviously, but that's what's going to take you from planning to execution to success. Now, experience planning. Let's talk about the number one hurdle. I've got four hurdles I want to share with you tonight. Number one is experience planning. It's hard to do a plan if you're not very experienced planning, right? It doesn't come naturally for some people. And if you've never done it before, it's very difficult. It's an overwhelming process. And if you're familiar with, you know, Microsoft Project and things like that, or you know, even architectural blueprints, they're complex. They're busy. There's a million different little things on those plans. And to sit down and try to build your own, it's just completely overwhelming and paralyzing. And that alone can kill people's dream. So you've got this dream, this vision, this thing that you want to go do. And the very act of trying to plan it out and go for it is enough to kill some people's dreams. And I hate to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen to you. So let's talk about how we can get started planning, even if we don't have a lot of experience. Well, number one, keep it simple. Apply the things that you know. For example, how many people have baked a cake? Ever baked a cake before? Well, it's not that hard, right? I mean, you follow the directions in the box, but you had to go to the store to get the box, and you had to preheat the oven, you had to pour the stuff in, and you had to beat the eggs, and you had to do all the different things. And you had to make sure that you did them in the right order, right? Nobody likes a crunchy cake because you didn't beat the egg, or you beat the eggs after you put them in, but before.
Or I left the shells in. Exactly.
Absolutely. the shells are still in there. You got to crack some eggs to make a cake. Well, if you do things in the wrong order, then you've got a problem. So the planning process is no more difficult than baking a cake. You can sit down and you can list out in any number, or, you know, 20, 15, 25 steps what it would take to go from scratch of baking a cake. And I'm not counting going to the store and buying one and bringing it home. That's too simple. Other things that we can relate to. Maybe you've hosted a party. You had to send out invitations, right? You had to get the food and the drinks, and you had to help people park their cars, and you had to plan the activities, and you had to make sure everybody got home safe, right? And how about going to the grocery store? We've all gone to the grocery store, hopefully, or there's some really hungry people on the call. But we've gone to the grocery store, and so what did we do? We did one of two things primarily. We either went to the grocery store, and because we were hungry, we bought a bunch of different stuff, we spent too much money, and we took it home, and some of it got wasted. Or we went in with a plan. We had a list, a shopping list. A list, a to-do list, whatever it is the most simple, basic form of plan. And if you've never planned before, start with a to-do list. Start by just listing out the things that you feel like you need to get done. That is an amazing first step. It doesn't have to be complex. One of my mantras is simple is effective. It doesn't have to be complex for it to get incredible results. So start with what you know. And as you learn, as you grow, as you go through this process, you'll gain even more ability to add some complexity, because there are some things that add value when you start prioritizing tasks, when you start looking at predecessor-successor relationships. And I know some eyes are glazing over as I start talking about some of these project management concepts. You don't start there. You start with a simple to-do list. Simple is effective. Okay, number two, next slide. Behaving backwards. The simple reality is that people want to have success and fame and wealth. We all want that, and there's nothing wrong with wanting those things if we've got the right spirit about them. But these things that we want are the result of action. They're the result of doing, not just being. We want to have them. How many of us are willing to be what we have to be in order to do the things we have to do in order to have the things we want to have? And if you break this all down and smash it together, I'm simply saying that we have to be, then we have to do, and then we can have. And if we be, do, have, we can smash it further, and it's simply a matter of behaving. It's our behavior. We have to behave in a manner that is going to build us toward the success that we want to have. Greek philosopher, and I always screw up this name, Epictetus, he said, first say to yourself what you would be, and then do what you have to do. We have to be before we can have. We have to be before we can do before we can have. And if we simply get this in the right order, it's a huge life-changing thing. I call it behaving backwards because we want to have these things, but we often don't want to do the work that it takes to get them. And I talked earlier about the hard work that we never see from successful people. They appear to be an overnight success. If you look at somebody like Dave Ramsey, you know, if you just discovered Dave Ramsey on the radio or on TV, and you look at him, his life is, it just seems like he's got it all together. And in a lot of ways, he does. He's very successful today. But he wasn't so successful when he was going bankrupt, when he was going through just after bankruptcy and trying to put food on the table and working his butt off to do that. And so we don't see all of the hard work that Dave went through. We see the result of that hard work. And when we simply see the results and we want to apply it to our lives, very easy to say, well, I want that. Poof, you know, give it to me. And life doesn't work like that. We've got to define what our principles and our beliefs are. What are we going to be? What are we going to act like? Are we going to operate with integrity? Are we going to speak the truth? Are we going to do the right things? Then we can start doing. We can do those things. And then we start getting the results of those things. Don't behave backwards. Behave in the proper way that will move us forward to the place where we want to go. Next slide, Deb. Number three, destination lock. Well, we have to realize that this thing that we're wanting, this thing that we're wanting to accomplish in our business or a personal goal, whatever that might be, it is a journey, not a destination. We have to realize that we're going to walk a long road to accomplish this thing, because this thing that we want to do, again, if it's a big thing, if it's a worthy thing, if it's this driving passion inside of us, it's going to be a journey and it's going to be a process. But no battle plan survives contact with the enemy. We have to make sure that we are flexible enough to adjust along the way. We have to have a vision of our future, but we have to have revision as well, because there are no perfect plans. As we walk this journey, as we go through this process, there are going to be challenges that we have to overcome. There's going to be difficulties that we have to face. There are dark days ahead of us where we're going to feel like we should quit. And we have to power through those. We have to let that passion drive us through those. And we have to let our plans guide us and say, no, this is possible. Yes, this is an obstacle. And yes, this is difficult. But it can be overcome. We can go around it. We can go through it. We can go over it. We can go under it. We can blow it up and continue on our process. But we also have to look for new opportunities as we go on this journey. If I'm in L.A. and I decide to set out on a massive road trip for New York City, I can start driving, and it's going to take me days and days and days to get to New York City, and I can start that drive. And maybe along the way I realize I hear something on the radio or I'm talking to a friend, and I realize I don't want to go to New York. I want to go to Miami. Well, I can still follow my plan and go to New York, but then I'm not at the place where I wanted to go when I started. I'm at the place where I wanted to go when I started, but I'm not the place I want to go now. New opportunity has come up. Now I'm going to Miami, and I'm going to adjust along the way. So that flexibility comes in terms of facing the challenges and overcoming those along the way, and then looking for the new opportunities. I have a lot of friends who started businesses or started the process of starting a business thinking that they knew exactly what they wanted, exactly where they wanted to go. Only by doing the business for a while that they realized it was really something else. Now, was that wasted time? I don't think so. I think they still learned incredible, valuable lessons in moving forward and into those new areas. The lessons can be applied. You've got to look back at your past and use it as fertilizer for your future, whether it's the good things, the bad things, whatever. Move forward. Understand that you've got a vision for what you want your future to be, but don't be so locked in on it that you get there and you realize it's not where you want to go. Okay, number four. Slide, Deb. Doing it alone. And this is probably the most important thing. Your success is unlikely to be original or absolutely your own. Think about, we always think about the geniuses, right? We think about the people who went in their basement, created something, and came out, and the world just fell in love with it. Well, the reality is that there's somebody in a basement somewhere, and they are perfecting videotape. They've got it down. They're almost ready to launch. They're ready to bring it out to show the world. But while they were in their basement, somebody invented the Blu-ray discs. Somebody invented the DVDs. And somebody's inventing something else that's going to come out before they ever launch their perfect videotape. And the world's not going to want it anymore. You can't be so head down that you don't look around you and find the missing pieces of the puzzle that point you to whatever the next thing is. Nobody needs a better typewriter today. Who's buying typewriters? Most typewriter manufacturers have gone out of business or are going out of business. There's very little use of typewriters in the world today because of the internet, because of computers. The world has changed. So it's a drastic look at it, but we do the same thing when we write a book or when we start a business. We think that we have all the parts and pieces, and we go build something, and then nobody wants it. We've got to think a little bit differently. What does the world want that still is part of my passion, is still a part of my thing? Doing it alone is the formula for failure. We have to build our success around other people, and those other people are our advisors, our assistants, our employees, their guides and coaches, customers even, our family, our friends, the communities around us. These are the people who are going to speak into our lives and speak into our business. They're going to give us those, hey, did you know somebody was inventing a disc? And so get rid of that, get rid of the videotape. They're the people that are going to push us and prod us. They're the people that are going to encourage us and build us up along the way. And when they say, man, you've got something. I can't wait to buy that. I can't wait to see the infomercials have your product in it. I can't wait to see that book on the shelves. I can't wait to see your success. Those are the people we want to have around us. But we want those people to also be the people that say, dude, you're going the wrong way. You got to adjust this or wake up. You're being too stubborn on this point. And you've got to be willing to listen to those things. Don't go it alone. I want to share some specific things and some resources in a minute that will help you in not going it alone. Next slide, Deb. So now we've talked about the obstacles, the hurdles of building out a plan, and I want to give you just a really quick rundown of how I do my planning and how I teach people to do plans. There isn't enough time tonight to go into it in super detail, but I do want to share some of these high points with you because I think it'll be very valuable. And then I'm also going to include the template that you can download from my website and get that. Building a plan. Earl Nightingale said that all you need is the plan, the roadmap, and the courage to press on to your destination. So you've got to have a plan, and you've got to have the courage to implement that plan. Don't just write it down and never do anything with it. Next slide. The simple strategic plan. This is the tool that I use, and you can get it at wooseleycoaching.com/SSP. That stands for, obviously, simple strategic plan. There's a Word document versions of it as well as a PDF version, whichever one you prefer. So you can pull that down. There's some basic instructions inside of it. This is a tool that Chuck Bowen, I mentioned him earlier, he's at chuckbowen.net. He developed, and I've continued to work on it with him and improve it. And, in fact, I'm working on some major revisions that I'll roll out next year. But for you can get the version that's out there and start applying it, start building out your plan. And what it is, it's simply a way of funneling all the broad, big-picture things that you want to go do and the things that you're about and funneling them down into actionable steps. What are the things that you're going to go do? And making sure that the things you do align with the person that you are and the dreams that you have. It starts out, there's 9 sections. Section 1 is your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, also called SWOT. This is where you really document who you are. What are the things that you're good at? What are the things that you're bad at? What are the things that can stop you and hurt you? What are the things that can propel you into the future? If you can't sit down and instantly lock in a few items in each of these categories, you don't know yourself well enough, and you need to spend some time exploring who you are and what you care about and what you really want to go do. Step 2 is your mission statement. Now, this isn't some frilly mission statement that you post on the wall and everybody ignores. A lot of businesses have those, and people don't take them to heart. But this is really about you, and it's what you want to accomplish. So what is your mission statement? What is it that you want to do? And this is the intersection of what you want to do and what you want to get paid for. What are people willing to pay? What do you want to get paid for? That you find that intersection, and you've got a formula that's the first step for success in your business. Mission statement can be short or long. I don't care. As long as it's from the heart and it really describes what you want to go accomplish in your business and why you're doing this. Step 3 is your corporate values, or your core values. What are the things you care about the most? What are the things that you want your business to inspire in people or to represent? Or when people think of you or your business, what do they see? Is it your integrity? Is it your honesty? Is it your quality? What is it in those things, your helpfulness? What are those core values that you want to always represent? And whenever there's a challenge or a difficult time, you can go back to your core values and you can always act within those core values. Step 4 is your vision statement. So here we're taking your mission statement and those values and we're putting them into the future and we're saying, well, these are the things I want to go accomplish. The way I like to do a vision statement, you can have short-term vision statements and long-term vision statements, but the method that I like best is to pick a date about 3 to 5 years out in the future. Just any random date. It could be January 1st, 2015, 2016. It could be August the 6th. It doesn't matter what date that is specifically, but it needs to be specific for you. So on that date, you wake up, and then you just write what happens in your day. What is your day like? How is that perfect day in the future where things are moving forward? Maybe not everything is set, but things are moving in the right direction, and you can look back and reflect on the past year or two or three and see where you've come from. You can look at your day and say, this is the interaction that I have with people and with my family, and now I'm living the life. I'm living where I want. I'm living the way I want. I'm working the way I want. I've got the income that I want. So you're really laying it out. What I love about this method is it becomes tangible. You can smell it, and you can taste it, and you can feel it. And you can do those things, you can make it real. This vision statement is a powerful, powerful way of moving yourself forward. And then you can continue to look back on it, especially whenever, as you're going forward, you can look at it in those difficult days and say, why am I doing this again? And you can read that and go, oh, yeah, because I want to be home with my kids, or I want to be able to take that vacation, or I want to have this impact in the world. Those are the reasons that propel you forward in the darkest times. Step five is your business objectives. These are starting to get to high-level goals. What are the things that you want your business to accomplish? These are a combination of both true business goals in terms of revenue or, you know, number of customers served or number of employees, those tangible things. It's also the personal things. Why are you doing this in the first place? A lot of times it's easier to simply go get a job than it is to start a business. And that's just a reality because business can be very hard. It can be very rewarding too, though. And those rewards, when they outweigh the difficulties, again, it's another place where it can motivate you to move forward. So you're doing it to support your family. You're doing it for other specific reasons. I include both personal and business objectives in this section because it, for me, business is personal, and my personal life is my business. I don't separate them absolutely. There's definitely connection points between the two. Step six, we get into key strategies or projects for our business. Now we're getting very, very specific on the things that we're going to start acting upon. The other sections, the first five sections, are kind of foundational. They're building us out high-level, broad steps. Our key strategies or projects are those things that we want to do over the next year or so. And we can break them into two categories. They're the things we must do and the things we should do. So those things we must do are those, as it's called, it's a must do. We've got to do these things. They are the biggest bang for the buck items. They're the places where by doing those, we can launch into all those other things that we want to do. The should do's are those things that are really exciting or fun or interesting, but they don't necessarily have the same long-term impact in our business. Or maybe they're the things that, you know, we need to get some must-dos done before we can even really successfully do the should-dos. So by analyzing these things, we're starting to prioritize our tasks. Looking at a year-long goals, or approximately a year-long goal, some could be shorter, some could be longer, we're saying to ourselves, these things are the things I need to work on right now. These are the things that are the most important right now. And it's just a basic prioritization. The other great thing about your must or your should-do list, your should-dos become this playground, this place where you can put all of these things that you want to go do, all your dreams, all these new cool ideas that you get on the fly as you're executing your plan, but it's just not time to execute them right now. And so you can write them down, you can put them in there, and then as you reevaluate your plan on a quarterly basis, you can decide, well, this one needs to be promoted to a must-do. Or this one was a really good idea a couple of months ago, but if I'd have done it, I'd be in trouble. So this is not a good idea anymore, and you can scrap it. And so it allows you to have this placeholder for good ideas or things that seem good, at least at the time, and then move forward into those. Next, we're going to go in and relook at our SWOT. It's the SWOT analysis. The SWOT analysis is where we go back and look at the things we did at the very beginning. We're going to take each and every item that we put in there, and we're going to respond to them. So what are your strengths? Well, how are you going to leverage each strength? How are you going to use each strength to move your business forward? What are specific things that you can do to look at, you know, maybe you're a perfectionist and you put that down as a strength. Well, that can have a direct drive into what you do in terms of quality. Your weaknesses. These are the things you need to protect yourself against because these are things that you're just not good at, the things that can really hurt you. And maybe you're a perfectionist, and your perfectionism is keeping you from moving forward. Well, what are you going to do specifically to respond to that perfectionist weakness so that you can move forward and you can continue? And when you recognize these strengths and weaknesses and then have specific responses to them, now you're in that process of moving yourself forward and advancing in your strengths while making sure that your weaknesses don't take you down. Your opportunities and your threats are the same way. They're just a little bit different. They're more future-focused. So your opportunities, what are the things that you put down as opportunities, and how are you going to go after those? Because those are the things that are going to be propelling your business. Your threats, what are those things? And those are the things that could take you out. Those things could hurt your business or hurt your progress severely. Well, how are you going to protect yourself against those things? So as you look at these SWOT items, you're putting in specific responses for each one that will help you move forward. Next, we get to goals. Now, the goals are where we really start getting focused on a quarterly basis. And so if you're building this plan in December, I would expect that your plan is for an execution of January, February, and March of 2012. It could be any quarterly period. 90 days approximately is a good place to go, and I like to tie it to the calendar myself as much as I can. These goals are 90-day goals associated with the projects, those key strategies, those must-dos that you defined earlier. And when you have those specific goals in place, now you can start to see, okay, well, I decided I wanted to write a book. That was my project. My goal is in the next 90 days, I want to write 5 chapters in the book. And you can break those 5 chapters down further into the action steps that we get at the last step. So you have a project of writing a book. You have goals that support that project in terms of the number of chapters and or what functions you need to do to write that book in the next 90 days. Maybe the book isn't completed in 90 days. Maybe the book takes a little bit longer. It may take 180 days to do. We're focusing just on this quarterly process. Those action steps break it down. And so we can say we need to do, you know, so many sections and so many chapters. We get it down to a point where we have a weekly plan. I prefer personally a weekly plan. You can get it down to daily, or you can take it at a little bit higher level depending on your personality and how you do things. Look and make sure that you're being effective in whatever planning process that you're using, though. I like a simple weekly plan, though. I can begin the beginning of week, look at the things that I've got to do. I can go do them. And then at the end of the week, when I'm planning the next week, I can see what I've accomplished, see what maybe I didn't get done, and move it forward if need be, and build out the plan for the next week. Week after week after week, I start to see these accomplishments. I start to move forward in all of these goals. I start to see those projects coming to fruition. And so it's this repeatable process, week after week after week, month after month, quarter after quarter. And I go through this process every quarter. And I review all of the things in my plan. The things at the beginning of the plan should stabilize after a few iterations. The things at the end of the plan are your specifics that you're going to do for that quarter. Using this process, you can start to see remarkable changes in your life and remarkable progress on those goals and on those visions and on those dreams that you've got. So I know this is a really quick, high-level thing, and hopefully you can download the SSP and get a copy. Again, at wooseleycoaching.com/SSP. Download that template, re-listen to this section of the call, and you'll get some really good progress there. Okay, so next steps. Next slide, Deb. Next steps, identify where you are. A big part of what the SSP is about is in that first section, right? You've got to define where you want to go and why. Where do you want to be at the end of 2012? If you don't know, you're not going to get there. As Zig Ziglar famously says, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You've got to have a goal for 2012. It may be the end of the world, according to Mayans. I mean, who knows? I don't quite believe that, and I'm going to press forward and have plans that go way, way, way beyond 2012. Define where you want to be. Know why you want to do that. Have that intentionality. And then develop a plan to get there, but keep it simple. Don't overplan it. Don't go beyond what you're capable of in terms of your planning process. Just having a basic, simple plan that gets you moving forward is good enough. Having a super complicated plan that you never execute and you never look at again and you never actually end up getting anywhere, well, that's no good. Build a plan that works for you. Implement it, adjust it as needed, and go forward. One of my mantras, again, is keep it simple. Keep it effective, but do what works for you. Okay, next steps. I want to share on the next few slides a couple of resources that I think I highly recommend and I think will help move you forward. Some are paid resources, some are free resources. But I want to help you build this plan. And as Earl Nightingale said, all you need is the plan, the roadmap, and the courage to press on to your destination. As Napoleon Hill said, reduce your plan to writing. The moment you complete this, you will have given, or you have definitively given concrete form to the intangible desire. It's hard to grab onto intangibles. It's hard to hold on to them and let them drive you forward. But when you can write it down, like Chuck says, if you write it down, you can make it happen. There is something magical and powerful about simply writing down your goals or your plans. So let's build out these plans. Let's make it happen. I'm giving you a template, and I hope that you'll go try it out and use it. Next slide. So some free resources that I want to share with you. First off, 48days.net. Dan Miller, who wrote 48 Days to the Work You Love, has created an incredible online community of people moving forward. And they're not just looking for their next job. They're doing all kinds of amazing things. So jump on there, plug into some groups, There are some great groups there, very active community, and you'll find it expanding your mind and expanding your boundaries. I can trace back probably 90% of the people I know today that I look up to or that I'm friends with or that I'm mentoring with, and you know, I can trace them back to Dan Miller in some form or fashion. He's just an incredible guy with an incredible message, and 48days.net is out there. It's free. Join it. Use it. I just can't say enough about it. Another way that you can move forward on this stuff, again, I don't want you to be alone in it. So start a mastermind group. Build something with people of either a similar background or different backgrounds, depending on what you want, but people who are moving forward, people who are movers and shakers, and you can learn from the, from each other. You've all got different personalities and different strengths and different weaknesses. As you interact with other people, you're going to continue to grow and to learn. That power of networking is very powerful, too. You will meet people and see opportunities, and you'll have people push you to do things that you might not otherwise do, just like Deb did with me on this call tonight. I had kind of thought about doing this, and she was the one that said, okay, pick a date, I'll host it, I'll help you, boom, and it's done. And so there is incredible power in getting people around you that will push you. These mastermind groups can also be accountability groups, and they'll be those people who you know hold you to what your goals are. Beyond that, you can develop an accountability partner, a person or two people that you go really, really deep with, and you share all of these weekly plans that you build out and say, oh, these are the things, my goals for the week. And at the end of the week, you get together and say, well, did you do those? And you feel really bad if you didn't. And that's a powerful way to continue to make yourself moving forward. I think if it's weight loss that you need to do or if it's eating better, you got to find people around you that are going through it too, or it's very lonely. Don't go it alone. That was one of the key hurdles that I talked about tonight. Finding people that put around you can definitely help you move forward. And then use the SSP. Use that simple strategic plan template and build out a plan. You know, adjust it as you need, as you see fit. It's not a perfect tool for any for everybody. It's a perfect tool for some people. And it's a close tool for others. I have yet to find any online project management tool that I absolutely love. None of them do all the things I want them to do, but I learn from all of them, and there are some that I can definitely use to move myself forward. Okay, next slide. Paid resources. Certainly one-on-one coaching. I'm a coach. Deb's a coach. There's a lot of coaches out there, people who can help move you forward, and I'm happy to do one-on-one coaching with people. It's where people get a lot of traction. Because whenever you've got that coaching relationship, whenever you're paying for that time with that person, you want to get a lot out of it. And so you're pushing your coach to get a lot for you. And it's just a powerful relationship when you start doing one-on-one coaching. Another alternative there is group coaching. And so similar to the mastermind group that you could form on your own, you get a coach, somebody who's focused on a specific thing, and they bring like-minded people together, and they're all moving forward. Well, I'm offering a special group coaching package for 2012, and it begins in January. It's 6 months of training and coaching and masterminding, and in January it's going to kick off, and we're going to do some specific courses on planning. I'm going to go in very detailed depth on the simple strategic plan, much more detailed than I did tonight. It's going to take about 3 or 4 hours probably to go through it all. Then we're going to go through and build out a financial forecast for your business, if that's what you're doing, working your business. And then we're going to have monthly calls after that so we can have check-ins and we can have accountability and we can work together to do that. There's going to be online resources and online community, and you'll get to meet and interact with other people that are going through the process just like you. And those connections are powerful. I just finished up a 12-month process very similar to this with Kent Julian, who is an incredible speaker and coach. And learned a ton from him as I've been coaching people, and I always continue to learn. I continue to learn from the people that I coach even. So if you're interested in that opportunity, you can go to woosleycoaching.com/2012 is the shortcut, or 2012-roadmap to learn more about this 2012 roadmap group that I'm putting together. It's going to be very exclusive, not going to get very big. There are two options for joining that. It is $112 per month for the six-month period, or if you sign up before the end of December, it's only $512. So that saves $160, and you're locked in for the entire six-month period. So it's very powerful, very good group. And I'm very much looking forward to leading that. And I hope that you'll consider joining me. If you've got any questions, feel free to reach out and send me a note at james@woosleythecoaching.com. Another resource for you, Free Agent Academy, which Deb is a professor there. I'm a professor there. And I just can't say enough good things about Free Agent Academy. I joined as a member, and now I get to be on the leadership team. And it's just so cool to be a part of that. We have a specific curriculum that will walk you through the process of understanding your calling and who you are, what your best ideas are, how to brand that idea, how to build a plan to execute on that idea, how to market it, how to brand it, how to put it online and do all the amazing things that you need to do to build a successful business. What you get there is you get a collection of a lot of different coaches, a lot of different professors that are leaders there. You get a very active and encouraging community, and we'll bust you too if you need busting. But there are some really good programs with that. If you want to check that out further, you can go to freeagentvirus.com. That is my affiliate link. And if you go through my affiliate link, then I'll also give you a free one-on-one coaching session. And so it's a very powerful way to extend not only what you're learning in Free Agent Academy, but to then have that one-on-one time with me. I'm the fifth-level professor in the curriculum, so you won't get to work with me for a while. But I can certainly help you build a plan to get the most out of Free Agent Academy, and that's what I would love to do to help you out with that. Well, that's about all I've got for tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening to the call, either live or on the replay. Highly encourage you to go out there, build a plan, and make something happen for 2012. There is an incredible wealth in the world that is untapped, and I'm not talking about oil. And I'm not talking about diamonds or gold or any of those commodities. The untapped potential in the world is within us. And if we can simply dig into it, extract it from ourselves, extract it from each other, we can make the world a better place. And I know that kind of sounds, pageant-like, I want to make the world a better place, but I really do. I think that there is an incredible future for us if we simply will tap into it, if we simply will go for it. And it's beyond simple wealth or fame or success. It is a glory that we can only imagine. And so go for it. Go out there and do amazing things. Thank you again to Deb and Gino for hosting me and pushing me to do this tonight. You can find her at strengthleader.com. And that will do it for tonight. Thanks a bunch, everybody. Good night.